Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21? Matthew chapter 21. And as you find that, I remind you that this week is known as what is called Holy Week. Holy Week. Now, there are a lot of different traditions that occur through this time leading up to Easter, and I don't know if any of you might have seen some brothers and sisters who might have had a dark spot on their forehead this last week or so. They were celebrating what we call what? Ash Wednesday, remembering the series of events that have happened in our Lord's life, and we come to that this week ourselves, and we're going to be not only entering the Holy Week, but this is the first day that we recognize in that, beginning with Palm Sunday. And this is Palm Sunday. And it's a celebration of Jesus as Messiah, that he came as a conquering hero. He just didn't conquer what a lot of people thought he was going to conquer. They were looking for an earthly and political king, weren't they? But it led not to his being put on a throne on this earth, but it led to Good Friday, you recall, remembering the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made, leading then not to just the discouragement of his death, but of all things, to Easter Sunday in rejoicing to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, God, Savior, and Redeemer. Amen? We celebrate in the power he has to change our lives. The events of Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, are recorded not just in Matthew, but in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Folks, it just adds to the importance of what this event is all about. It marks the beginning, if you will, of the earthly journey of Jesus to the cross. We know that Jesus' journey began long before Palm Sunday, right? Long before he began his ministry at the age of 30. Long before he was born in Bethlehem and was put into a little manger as a baby. Even long before the Lord revealed to Mary and Joseph that they would be the earthly parents of Christ. Long ago, God the Father made a plan, and it was to redeem you and to redeem me. So many things to consider in this one day in the life of Jesus Christ. So I want to point out three very simple things today that are going to help you to remember and also to define Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Three simple things: a donkey, a palm branch, and rocks. Can you remember that? Say them with me. A donkey, you've got it. Shall we have the invitation? Or shall I explain them? These are all pretty common things, aren't they? But they remind us of a very uncommon journey of an uncommon Lord and Savior. And they represent the ways that Jesus Christ himself went far above and beyond what we could think, far above and beyond what we could ask for, far above and beyond what we needed, in order that he might give us more. More. I remember, and I've shared this with you before, when I was a child, my first understanding of more as a little bitty fella, we went to the grocery store, and my mom told the guy behind the counter at the meat market, she says, "I want 5 pounds of ground meat." And he would put it up there on the scale, and it would get right to the 5 mark. And then he would grin at my mom, and he would reach over into the little case there, and he'd grab a handful more and put it right on the top, and it would go over that 5 mark, and mama would grin. He'd say, "Is that okay?" She said, "Yeah." You know why? Everybody wants more. On the box of cereal, they never say less than last year. They always say what? More. 20% more. Everybody wants more. Did you realize that the Lord our God sent his son Jesus so that we could have more, have life and have it more abundantly? Would you stand in honor of reading God's word today? We're going to read Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And then a little later, we're going to read the follow-up to this story. But it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, this is important. Are you listening? Don't fall asleep on this. Why was Jesus riding the donkey? Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes upon them, and set him, Christ Jesus, on them. Who would ever thought that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would enter the celebratory Jerusalem on an humble beast? Father, would you help us to understand why? Lord, I pray that today, that as we prepare to leave and go into the rest of our lives, that we would never see a donkey again in the same way, but that we would understand that he was used as a tool of prophecy for our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to understand better so that we can have more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? A donkey. A donkey of all things. Not what I would have chosen. I'd have gone for one of those great stallions, you know, a big black one with a cool-looking saddle, and I mean, something that really looked majestic. Why not a horse? Why not a camel? Why this lowly animal? Because even in the detail of this lowly, humble critter called a donkey, God's plan was unfolding. Way back in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, there was a prophecy that the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem on a young donkey. And Matthew was literally quoting the Old Testament when he wrote this here that we wrote, that the Messiah would come on the foal of a donkey. Jesus specifically, when he told the disciples, he didn't say, now doesn't it seem to me that he would trust his disciples, they took care of every other detail, that he would just say, look, go into the city and find me something to ride in on. No telling what they might come up with, but they would have come up with something. I don't think that they would have looked for a donkey. But what did Jesus ask for very specifically? He said, go and look for what? A donkey. It's kind of cute, yeah, but it's definitely not majestic. It doesn't suggest power. You know, the top soldiers in the Roman army, the centurions and the leaders, they had majestic horses, and so the equine would come out, and man, it would just show the power and significance of the individual riding it. Is that what Jesus asked for? No. There's absolutely no show of power in a donkey. There's absolutely no show of position in a donkey. But riding in on a donkey fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. Riding in on a donkey, on this humble donkey, Jesus was making a proclamation. You might say, oh, it was showing his humility. In a way it was, but much more than that. Jesus was showing that he was King of Kings, because by riding in on a donkey, Jesus was saying, I am your Messiah. I'm the one you're looking for. Because that was what the prophecy said he would be riding in on. The King of Kings, on whom the Jews had been waiting for centuries, came riding into Jerusalem on the vehicle that was pronounced in history. He came riding on a donkey. Folks, I hope you never see a donkey again, except that you remember Jesus used an humble creature to proclaim that he was King of Kings. The second thing, palm branches. There are all kinds of palm branches, and this is one made up to kind of show you what I imagined. But palm branches were used that Palm Sunday. After all, it is called what? Palm Sunday. There's a reason it's called Palm Sunday. Would you look with me at verse 8 and following? It says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothing on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees," and others says palm trees, "and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now listen, what does it mean all the city was moved? It means that there was a mass hysteria. Because don't you know how you get caught up in it? Listen, you know, I've like to go to the Astros games, okay? So you remember that when y'all go. But I like to go to the Astros games. And when they get in the middle of it and things kind of lull down, you know what the crowd likes to do? You ever seen it? And I ignore it the first five or six times it comes by. But when they get excited and the whole crowd starts going, whoa! Something as silly as the wave. I didn't go to the ball game to watch the wave, but you know what? When they really get into it and everybody's into it, I just can't help it. You know. A little bit of that was going on Palm Sunday. People were getting excited. They're going, this is the Messiah. This is the man who's done all the miracles. This is the man who teaches like nobody else teaches. And they began to throw their coats into the trail. And they began to wave the palm branches. And they began to shout, Hosanna, which was the greeting for the coming king. And as they did that, people got excited about it. And they just got pulled into it. And they began to call out and cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they began to cry out to the king. The Jews thought that their king had arrived. He said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. The Jews thought, finally, our earthly king has arrived. So the cheering went on with excitement. They got excited because they finally thought that as Jesus came in, that he was going to be their deliverer. So they pulled the palm branches, threw their clothes, and they began to celebrate, saying, the king has finally come. The Jewish king has arrived. The palm branches were a symbol of victory. So they were pulling the palm branches off and waving them as Jesus came by, saying, You're going to take us to victory. You're going to take us to victory. And thus the name, what? Palm Sunday. That's why we call it palm. Listen, I hope you don't go by any of these palms anymore that are out in the lower areas of around us. And there's a lot of them. These palmettos everywhere remind me of a palm. And I pray that you never see a palm leaf again in any manner that you don't think about the victory in Jesus Christ. Now, these poor folks, they even started throwing their coats out in the road. They did it for their new king. They thought Jesus was going to be their conquering earthly king. Finally, their Messiah had come. He was going to be the rescuer of them from the political machine called Rome. He was going to overcome these emperors and the people who were out there that were making decisions over them and keeping them down. Finally, he was going to overthrow their oppressors and kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. They really thought that was what was going to happen, and that's what Jesus was here for. They were going to set him up as king for the perfect kingdom for the Jews. Right? Didn't happen, right? Didn't happen. The crowd is soon going to discover that Jesus wasn't quite what they expected. He wasn't there to set up an earthly kingdom. Instead, he was going to do more. He was going to do less than what they thought in the world, but he was going to do so much more than they could ever imagine for eternity. Jesus was the spiritual king, and his victory was going to bring much, much more than they had expected. More freedom than what their current earthly oppression could ever understand. Jesus wasn't just going to free them from an earthly oppression. Jesus' victory would be the ultimate victory over sin and death, and it would be a victory of restoration for all of creation, for every person, not just the Jews. But there was going to be a victory over death. Soon it was going to be the victory that made a way, not just for the Jews, but for every person ever born that ever would be born to come to a right relationship with God the Father. That was going to come through Jesus. This king would not throw off the oppression of their politics, but he'd throw off and defeat the oppression of sin in their soul. Not just their bodily salvation, but their eternal salvation. The people were cheering. It's no wonder they were cheering. But none of them understood the magnitude of what Jesus was preparing to do. They thought, finally, freedom in our homes, freedom in our homes, freedom to do what we want. They had no idea of the freedom that Jesus was bringing. Even the disciples didn't get it. Did you know that? The disciples didn't even understand this. In John chapter 12, verse 16, it says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done and that they had done these things to him. The disciples were behind it. They were getting caught up. They were just happy that Jesus was being received. They were happy that Jesus was finally getting some recognition from the people. And they thought, wow, things are finally going to get easier for us. Boy, little did they know, right? Bless their hearts. Let me ask you, what about you? What do you expect Jesus to do for you this Easter, this Palm Sunday? Are you prepared for his power? Are you prepared for his victory in your life? Are you just looking for a few earthly victories here? God, just get me through this time. God, just get me through this. God, just overcome my enemies here on this earth. Listen, why did Jesus Christ come? Are you going to wave the palm branches of victory at work or school or home? Why are you raising the palm of victory? Do you know what you need in Christ? Will you look beyond the earthly expectations and look to the spiritual expectations? One more. There's one more item to discuss. We had, what was the first one? A donkey, and then a palm leaf. And what was the third one? A rock. Now, this rock came from the peak of Mount Sinai in Israel. I just happened to have a blessing of getting to go there. And I don't know, I guess if everybody who went up there started taking the rocks, Mount Sinai is going to get shorter and shorter. But I brought this all the way from Israel. And I'm using it this morning as a reminder of what God's word said. You see, we've read the first part of the story of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But this is not the end of the story. Palm Sunday, if you will, is a snapshot of Jesus' entire life. His whole life is kind of summed up there. His love, his sacrifice, and his commitment to a greater story than what people thought. Amen? We as people can get awfully short-sighted. God, just get me out of my temporary problems. But Jesus did more than that. He moved beyond the temporary to a greater story, to God's ultimate work of salvation for all mankind, not just a temporary deliverance for the Jews, but for all people. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he didn't arrive in order to raise support or gain people's approval. This wasn't a presidential campaign to try to get people to vote for him. Nor was his teaching about the truth of God. Nor was his healing of all the people so that they would all of a sudden say, oh, we've got a guy that we've got to support him. He's going to make things great for us. Isn't that what presidential campaigns are all about, trying to get people rallied to vote for you? That wasn't what Jesus was doing. He wasn't trying to get them to start supporting him or to gain their approval. This wasn't a rally to make him king. You know why? Jesus knew what was coming. Hello? Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that in the coming days, this fickle crowd was going to turn on him and he was going to die on a cross. He knew that this very same crowd in just a matter of hours was going to stop shouting Hosanna and they're going to start crying Crucify. Jesus knew this. And yet they're deserting him. Did not change his purpose and did not change his actions. He continued on the same road, whether they were shouting Hosanna or Crucify. Jesus's purpose, listen, was not dependent on a human approval. Amen. It wasn't dependent on human praise. He made this clear in the Gospel of Luke. Now, we finish up this story. You remember I told you that this story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, Luke continues the story and picks it up where we left off there in Matthew. In Luke chapter 19, verse 37 and following, we pick up right here where the other story left off. It says, then, as he was now drawing near the descent or the bottom of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. Now, is this just the 12? No, the whole multitude. He wouldn't have said multitude if he just meant 12 disciples. But the whole multitude start hollering and shouting and praising the Lord Jesus. And it says, the whole of the multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, listen, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, who are getting fed up with the show, says some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. You see, this was the opposing team. And when Jordan Alvarez steps to the plate, the other team always goes, boo. When the favorite player from the home team steps up, they always boo. They don't want to see him do any good. But all of the home team is cheering and praising and calling on Christ. And the opposing team says, ah, tell him to shut up. It's exactly what's going on. Do you understand what's happening? The Pharisees said, make them stop. This yelling is just getting out of place. But you know what Jesus said? Look, he said there, he's saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called out to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered them and said, listen, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the very stones would immediately cry out. Have you ever heard the stones cry out? What did he mean? The stones would cry out. That seems impossible, doesn't it? Have you ever heard somebody say, he's as dumb as a rock? Come on. Nobody ever said, you never said that? You've never been said that about? Rocks just aren't known for their acuity. Rocks are not known for their appraise. Rocks are not known for anything except as being rocks. But that was exactly his point. It seems impossible that a rock could cry out in praise of God, in praise of Jesus. But you see, the importance was not about who sang praises to Jesus and who didn't. It wasn't about that a number of them that day were shouting praise and that there was the other side, the opposing side that was saying, "Oh, be quiet." That's not what this was truly about. Folks, what it is about is all creation. All creation, which was in need of redemption since the fall of man. Every rock in this world, every drop of water, every plant, every man and woman, child in this world was in need of redemption from the time that Adam and Eve fell. Even nature itself had fallen and didn't do what God's perfect plan had involved. You see, God never meant for men to have to labor and toil and pull weeds for things to grow. He never meant for women to have to go through labor and pains to have children. All of this was a part of the fall of mankind. And this was about all of creation in need of redemption. Because you see, each part of creation was held under the curse of sin and under the curse of death. And when it was lifted, when the curse of sin is lifted, all creation praised God and thanked God because God lifted the curse, because he made a way of restoration that all creation, including every man, woman, and child, could come back to God. That's what it was about. The rock, dear friend, was a symbol that when Jesus did what he could do, and only he could do, that all of creation would indeed cry out to him because he was the redeemer of all things. Jesus' true purpose was not to be liked by a lot of people. Most people didn't really care for what he was doing and didn't really like what he was doing. But folks, that understanding is that he was going to offer the ultimate sacrifice of his own life so that all of creation, men, women, children, and all of the rocks could call out and cry out in God and worship God in a new freedom and in truth. Whether the people approved or disapproved, whether they recognized or if they had no idea what was going on, whether Jesus' purpose changed or never changed, and it didn't change. He had an understanding of what he was to do, and it was above and beyond all earthly understanding. Jesus came that all could be redeemed, period. It's my prayer that you'll remember every time you see a donkey. It's my prayer that every time you see a palm leaf, it's down there. It's my desire and my prayer that every time you now see a rock, that you think, I need to praise God. Because I don't want rocks to be the only ones that'll cry out on my behalf, amen? But I'm going to praise God that he's given me the freedom to praise and worship the Lord God. Today, unlike the disciples, we have the privilege of hindsight, amen? We've got the Word of God that tells us what occurred. We have the Word of God that tells us what Jesus did. And we can see what the disciples did not see, what they could not see. We know the end of the story. We know what's going to happen. The words of Isaiah were appropriate then, and they are still appropriate today. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," God says. "Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." On that Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, would you listen? On that Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, Jesus did not come to win the people's approval. That's not why he was there. He came to secure their eternity. And he was going to pay a heavy price for it. Jesus did not come to sit on an earthly throne, but he came to be lifted up on a cross. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many to be God's payment for our sin. John chapter 3, verse 16 sums it up, doesn't it? John 3:16. Why don't you just say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it something how we cry out to God, make my days here easier, Lord. God, would you just help me with that boss. Help me with that spouse. Help me with those kids. Help me with this situation. When our prayer needs to be focused so far beyond that, God, would you just help me to see what you've done and to live for you because you have secured my eternity. Jesus' life purpose was to bring God's love and life to the world. His love bridged the gap that we couldn't bridge. It provided a way for you. It provided a way for me to cross over to God's side, something we could never do. To get to his holy presence, to know him, and to relate to him. What once was impossible, now, friends, is available. Because you see, we were separated by our sin from God the Father. But now it's possible through the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be brought to him. But like any other gift, it doesn't help us if it just stays in the wrapping and stays in the closet and put away or on the shelf. But folks, we have to humbly acknowledge and receive that gift and apply it to our life. That is the life and the love and the sacrifice of Jesus. Do you realize that that's what we do when we receive the Lord's Supper? We make a celebration, if you will, of what Christ has done. But you can't celebrate until the life is yours. All you can do is watch others. Would you pray with me? Can I pray for you? Father, this day, in your presence, we ask and pray, Lord, that you would use this word to remind us of what you've done. The humility of a donkey that would carry a king. The victory of the palm leaves, Lord, for the life that you have saved in every one of us. And the fact that we need to give you praise and glory for what you've done. Lord Jesus, we ask and pray this day that if there is even one here that's not received you or needs to tell others that they've done this, Father, that they would come and that they would share their life in Christ Jesus with others. For Father, there is no name under heaven, no other name other than Jesus by which we can be saved. We ask God for your help this day in celebrating what you've done, but first, Lord, in receiving what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you, do you need to receive Christ Jesus? Have you asked God for help in your daily stuff forever? Every day, God help me, God help me, God help me. But you have never turned to him for what he really came for. Eternal life.